300 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with international athletics. The indoor athletics season is in full swing ahead of next month's World Championships in Belgrade. Now, one of the prime venues for judging form on the circuit is Saturday's Muller Indoor Grand Prix in Birmingham, England. It's a meet that often produces top performances. Joining us now from Birmingham with a preview is the energetic Andy Edwards. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The tempo is certainly hotting up, both on the track and in the field. Birmingham in central England is renowned for its annual athletics meeting. The stars are out in full here, headed by Jamaica's sprint ace, Elaine Thompson-Hira, Sweden's pole vault maestro, Mondo Duplantis, and the American high hurdler, Grant Holloway, currently in outstanding form. Now, what do you do when you have achieved Olympic sprint golds? What fresh fields are there to conquer? I reckon a fair guess, as far as Elaine Thompson-Hira is concerned, is the women's world 100 metres record, set by the late Florence Griffith Joyner of the USA, which stands at 10.49. Thompson-Hira is the second fastest woman of all time with 10.54 and was in astounding form in the Olympic season last year, taking gold in both individual sprints and the relay. This indoor season should sharpen her still further before the summer outdoors.
Every year, I just take it year by year, you know. I went very close to the world record, so, you know, anything is possible. So, no spikes hanging up, no time soon.
Mondo Duplantis is the crowned king of the pole vault, Olympic champion and world record holder, both indoors and out, and looks unbeatable when in form. Grant Holloway is shaping up very well in the high hurdles. He set another world best in Liévin in northern France on Thursday. That was also an outstanding meeting in general, where Norway's Olympic champion, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, broke the 1500 metres world indoor record. Kenya's Abel Kipsang will certainly take notice of that when he lines up for the event here in Birmingham. He finished fourth behind a Norwegian at the Olympics. The middle distances are no longer dominated by East Africans. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. As Andy mentioned, Jamaican sprinter Elaine Thompson-Hira was in astounding form at last year's Tokyo Olympics, winning three gold medals. African athletes also had some history-making performances in Tokyo, as we hear now from Samson Omale in this Sunny Side of Sports highlight from 2021.
Burkina Faso's Hughes Fabrice Zongo made history as he claimed his country's first ever Olympic medal in the men's triple jump. The 28-year-old, who also won bronze at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, jumped 17.47 meters to claim third spot on the podium. Pedro Pichardo of Portugal won gold with a jump of 17.98 meters to claim his first Olympic title, while China's Zhu Yiming took silver at Tokyo's Olympic Stadium with 17.57 meters. Zongo's father, who watched from Burkina Faso, said his son's historic win was also a gift as it came on the same day as the country's 61st independence anniversary.
It's historic, it's a symbol, and I think the entire nation is aware of this because we told him the 5th when we saw the program and saw the final would be the 5th of August. I told him the 5th of August, you know, it's a historic date for Burkina Faso. If you can bring us back a medal, it would be great.
Another history maker is Namibia's Christian Umboma. She became the first ever woman to claim a medal for Namibia at the Olympic Games. The last time Namibia had a podium finish at the Olympics was in Atlanta in 1996. Another interesting fact is that Umboma also became the youngest woman at the age of 18 to win an individual flat sprint medal in 49 years for the Southern African country. Emma Katema Goma is Namibia's Deputy Sports and Youth Minister.
For us in the sports sector and Namibia in general, we were very much excited yesterday, overwhelmed, and what the two has done for themselves as well as for the country is unprecedented. I mean, reflecting on the journey of Christine, and maybe just to put it in context, what role the ministry has played is in 2019, through our Namibia School Sports Union. Remember, we have a regional athletics championship and then escalated to national championship. Christine made it to the team that then represented the country in SRT, that was 2019. This is a talent here, and we are not going to leave this talent. And being a permanent secretary back then, I took it upon myself to facilitate that whole transition.
And now to yet another history maker at the Olympics. Ugandan Peruth Chimutai became the first Ugandan woman to win an Olympic Games gold medal in any sport when she triumphed in the women's 3,000 meters steeplechase. The 22-year-old clocked a time of 9 minutes, 0.145 seconds to finish over 3 seconds ahead of American silver medalist Courtney Frederich, with Kenya's Haiwin Kiang taking the bronze. Ugandan athletics coach Benjamin Injia gives an insight into Chimutai's personality and trainings leading up to the Tokyo Olympics.
Indeed, I'm really very happy about Peru. Actually, I'm almost the second final, because Peru was handed to me when she was just still a very little young girl. Peru has been so disciplined, very focused. She has never lost track. It is now a true definition of those girls who have defined the odds to be in that top level in the sport. Her preparation was extremely good. Since Doha at the World Championships, Peru has been going through a lot of good programs of training, and she has not been doing a lot of competitions out of Europe.
That's Ugandan athletics coach Benjamin Njia. And Samson Omale originally filed that report during last year's Tokyo Olympics. And we'll hear more from Samson later in the show.
My name is Shida Lin, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. In honor of Black History Month, we speak with a prominent former U.S. ambassador to South Africa, senior Obama White House official, and former head of the Open Society Foundation, Patrick Gaspar, currently president and CEO of the Center for American Progress. We'll discuss a range of domestic and international issues, from the January 6th insurrection to U.S. policy toward Africa. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League. The BAL's second season will tip off on March 5th in Dakar, Senegal. The new league will also hold games in two other African cities, Cairo, Egypt, and Kigali, Rwanda. The BAL will once again feature the top 12 club teams from 12 African countries. Taking a look at the BAL's schedule, there will be a total of 38 games. There will be 15 games at the Dakar Arena in Senegal from March 5th to March 15th. There will be 15 more games at the Hassan Mustafa Indoor Sports Complex in Cairo from April 9th to April 19th. And an 8-game playoffs and final will be played at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda from May 21st to May 28th. Zamalek of Egypt won last year's inaugural BAL championship. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. The NBA's 71st All-Star Game will be held Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio. On Thursday night, two All-Star big men, one from Cameroon and the other with ties to Nigeria, went at it. As we hear now from Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. There were a lot of amazing games last night, and some teams look really, really good going into the All-Star break. But we have to start with the clash of the two MVP contenders going at it in a thrilling game last night. Joel Embiid 76ers versus Giannis Antetokounmpo's Milwaukee Bucks. This game came down to the wire, and the 76ers were able to edge off the Bucks 123-120. Embiid put up 42 points and 14 rebounds.
I'm excited. I'm playing at such a high level. I don't want to stop. I want to keep on going. I feel really good. I'm not going to just go and, not work or, take a couple of days off.
Giannis also put up 32 points and 11 rebounds in a losing effort.
I don't think we did a good job. He still had 40. But we competed. He played extremely well. But we got to figure out the way to guard him, and we got to learn the way to guard him, and hopefully we can do this when we see them again.
Next, we have the double overtime frenzy between the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. Miami was able to finally finish it off and win 111-107. Kyle Lowry led the team with 25 points and 9 rebounds. Here's Coach Eric Spoelstra for the Miami Heat.
We started to get, crawl back into it. And then at that point, our guys are great competitors. At that point, we just have to figure out how to win and probably have to do it ugly.
First-time All-Star LaMelo Ball also had a triple-double in the loss with 14 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. We'll be seeing more of his action in the All-Star game. Let's switch gears to the Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Mavs were able to get the win 125-118, led by Luka Doncic, putting up 49 points and 15 rebounds. He's really been putting up some huge numbers in February. The next game was a blowout. The LA Clippers beat the Houston Rockets 142-111, led by Marcus Morris Sr. with 27 points. Last game of the night was the Washington Wizards and the Brooklyn Nets. The Wizards were able to win 117-103 without their star player Bradley Beal. They were led by Roy Huchumera, who put up 20 points in the victory. Now let's talk about All-Star Weekend and the All-Star Game. Team LeBron versus Team Durant. Let's look at the starters for both teams. Team LeBron will have Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Nikola Jokic. What a starting lineup. For Team Durant, it'll be Trae Young, Ja Morant, Andrew Wiggins, Jason Tatum, and Joel Embiid. Kevin Durant will not be able to play due to the fact that he is injured. If you have a look at the starting lineups, it wouldn't be hard to see why Team LeBron is 4-0 in All-Star games since becoming a captain. But Team Durant will definitely come to play. It will not be an easy win for either side. MVP predictions are always difficult, but I'd have to say LeBron might have something to show the fans of Cleveland. Gotta make sure I give a shout out to the reserves on both sides. They have been playing unreal this season. For Team LeBron, the reserves are Luka Doncic, Jared Allen, Jimmy Butler, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Fred VanVleet, and James Harden, but he will not be playing due to an injury. As for Team Durant, the reserves are LaMelo Ball, Devin Booker, Rudy Gobert, Zach LaVine, Chris Middleton, DeJounte Murray, Karl Anthony Towns, and Draymond Green, who's also out with an injury. That's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Mukbil. That's Mukbil Yabaro. And Mukbil, I agree with you. I would not rule out LeBron winning the MVP award on Sunday. in his return to Cleveland. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember LeBron played a few years for the Cleveland Cavaliers in his stellar NBA career. And, of course, he's the pride of Akron, Ohio. So, yeah, it should be very interesting to see what kind of reception LeBron James gets from the crowd in Cleveland.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends? Breakout artists? New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us once again with a big package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports action this weekend with women's football. 20 countries face two-legged playoffs to qualify for the Women's African Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco this weekend, with the first legs taking place from the 16th to the 18th of February and the returns between the 21st to the 23rd of February. A total of 10 countries will be eliminated from Women's World Cup qualifying as a result. Uganda, who were given a bye after Kenya withdrew, and host Morocco are already assured of a place at the Women's Nations Cup, which will be played from the 2nd to the 23rd of July this year, which will decide Africa's representatives for the 2023 Women's World Cup, with the semi-finalists all booking their spots in Australia and New Zealand. In one of the fixtures, South Africa will host Algeria, and for South Africa's women's head coach, Desiree Ellis, she says they are aiming to celebrate the first ever African title on their 12th appearance in Morocco.
We have to keep a clean sheet, you know. That's very, very important, keeping a clean sheet, because with the players we have, we're going to create chances. And then we have to be clinical in front of goal. And we have to, you know, protect the ball a bit better. So we've got to execute the game plan better, but we've got to make sure first that we keep a clean sheet. That's the most important thing. And then work from there to create the opportunities and be clinical in front of goal.
In Abuja, the Super Falcons of Nigeria will be aiming for a 12th consecutive appearance at this year's Continental Showpiece when they face the Elephants of Ivory Coast. Elsewhere, Togo handed their maiden qualification dream a massive boost following a late 2-1 victory over Gabon at the Stade de Kyung in Lome. On Thursday, the Togolese had recorded a walkover after Sao Tome and Principe withdrew from the second leg to advance, while Gabon edged Congo on away goals after a 2-2 aggregate score to set up a Western Central African playoff date. In other fixtures for this weekend, Zambia will play Namibia. Namibia's Brave Gladiators coach, Woody Jacobs, is oozing confidence ahead of the encounter with the Copper Queens of Zambia.
We are facing such a formidable opponent, and we are wary of that. But also in the same breath, I would also like to say that the belief in this team is unbelievable. And why I say that, I bank the confidence I have going into this game is that I bank it solely on the players. The players, the belief that they have, the commitment, the drive, and the way they play with their heart on their sleeves.
Burkina Faso is already looking forward to the second leg after they did their best to have one hand firmly on the ticket to their maiden Women's African Cup of Nations after thrashing Guinea-Bissau 6-0 at Estadio 24 de Setembro in Bissau on Wednesday. Staying with football news, the Confederation of African Football Champions League 2021-2022 continues this weekend with the second match day of the group stage. 8 matches are scheduled to take place at various venues. After participating in the FIFA Club World Cup, where they finished in third place, defending champions Al Hokli of Egypt are back on the African scene. They will face Al Hilal of Sudan at the Al Hilal Stadium in Omdurman. Other fixtures will see ES Setif welcoming Raja Casablanca at the start to 5 Julia in Algiers. AmaZulu of South Africa will be playing host to Horoya at the Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban. On Saturday, it will be the turn of Mamelodi Sundowns, who will travel to the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo to face El Merrikh, while Atletico Petroleros of Angola will welcome Wydad Casablanca to the Estadio de 11 de November in Luanda. Jwaneng Galaxy of Namibia will play ES Sahel, while GD Sagrada Esperanca will play host to Zamalek. CR Belouizdad will complete the weekend's fixture when they host ES Tunis at the start of 5 July in Algiers.
Sporting greetings. This is William Cho Sekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Sides of Sports on the Voice of America.
Ahead of the World Cup playoffs scheduled for March 2022, Super Eagles defender William Stress Ekong is confident that Nigeria will beat the Black Stars of Ghana to qualify for the 2022 FIFA World Cup tournament. The Watford of England defender is assuring Nigerians that they will be ready for the crunch game against the Black Stars when they meet next month.
Everybody knows how important these games are. I've had the privilege of going to a World Cup before, 2018, and was probably my sporting career highlight, something that I would love to do again. We all know it comes down to these games and how much it will mean for the country, for the players, all of us, for our careers, if we manage to qualify. So there'll be a lot of riding on those two games, but I'm very confident in the team.
Away to East Africa, a total of 23 Ugandan football referees have been awarded FIFA badges and equipment for the 2022 season as they gain ranks in officiating the game of football. The 23 approved referees were given FIFA badges as futsal, beach soccer, and 11-a-side FIFA referees. And now to athletics, where race organizers for this year's Kenya Kipkino Classic believes this year's event will boost competition in sprints on the continent and enhance Africa's chances at the World Championships and Commonwealth Games. Race director Barandaba Korea said a record number of sprinters are being invited at the one-day event set for May 7th at the Nyayo Stadium in Kenya. The 22 edition of the Kipkino Classic will be the third edition and has grown so much in stature as over 12 nations competed at last year's edition. In cycling news, the 14th edition of the biggest race of the UCI African Tour, tagged Tour du Rwanda, will kick off in Kigali this Sunday. The cycling tour will attract 95 cyclists from 19 teams from various countries competing in 8 difficult stages that will decide the winner on February the 27th. In bobsleigh, elite Nigerian motorbob and skeleton competitor Simidele Adeabu has lodged a formal complaint with the International Bobsleigh and Skeleton Federation, alleging gender discrimination in the sports allocated to men and women at the Beijing Games. In a letter to the IBSF, lawyers for the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympian said she was excluded from the 2022 Olympic monobob event by a single sport due to an insidious and willful gender disparity in the number of slit slots made available for men and women. Adiagbo, who finished 20th out of 20 in the skeleton in Pyeongchang and last month won the monobob European Cup race in Winterberg, Germany, becoming the first African outlet to do so at an international bobsleigh race, now wants the disparity in sled sport addressed.
It's really highly frustrating. I have made so much progress just seeing how I've grown and developed in the sport, and I wanted to be right there competing with the best in the world. And so it's really frustrating to have that cut short, not because of anything that I did or any, lack of talent or skill, but simply because the rules in place are unlawful and discriminatory.
And finally, in swimming news, Seychelles will host the 4th FINA World Junior Open Water Championships from September the 1st to the 4th, 2022, the premier global open water swimming event for athletes aged 14 to 19 will take place on the course used during the 2018 and 2019 FINA Marathon Swim World Series events in Seychelles.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale reporting from Abuja, Nigeria. A skier from the Horn of Africa is calling for more diversity at the Winter Olympics. Joining us now with that story is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Alpine skier Shannon Abeda is the sole Winter Olympian to compete for Eritrea and one of six athletes representing the African continent in Beijing. The 25-year-old has made his second appearance at this year's Olympic Games, and earlier this week, he was the only African to complete his run in the men's giant slalom event, where he finished in 39th place. Just days afterwards, Abeda spoke to reporters at a Thursday press conference where he expressed his disappointment, not for his performance, but due to the lack of diversity in winter sports.
I was disappointed. It was not very inclusive on the sport. By no means was I treated poorly by any other nations. They respected me, and I do have friends from different countries, bigger nations that I've had really good friendship with. There was no diversity at all.
And Abeda says the lack of inclusion at the Winter Olympic Games sends a poor message to Africans and people of color.
There was me and another person of color from Haiti, and then there was, I believe, two more, the Ghanaian. Yes, there was another Ghanaian athlete and an athlete from Morocco, Morocco and Madagascar. But there was very much a lack of diversity on the sport. And I think that sends a really poor message to other Africans because it is hard. And I know growing up in Canada, I've always felt kind of out of place. Over the years, I've learned to just, you know, grow with it. It was very, very sad for me to see because I do want other people to feel like they belong.
African representation at the Winter Games has declined since 2018, when a record 8 African countries had its flags displayed in Pyeongchang. Eritrea, Morocco, Ghana, Nigeria, and Madagascar are back in Beijing for competition. However, South Africa, Kenya, and Togo are not. This year, Africans only qualified for alpine and cross-country skiing, with no athletes from the continent and competing in any other sport. 5 Olympians from Africa who qualified for this year's games were the recipients of individual scholarships given to them from the International Olympic Committee. The athletes have said that funding was vital for them to be able to compete in Beijing. And on Thursday, Michael Seyoum, chef de mission for Eritrea, urged the IOC to increase their assistance to allow more athletes in Africa to train in winter sports.
If it's a world championship, it has to be an inclusive sport. And I think the IOC has a responsibility to help countries that are starting programs in sports like skiing. He may be in Calgary, Canada, but he's an Eritrean. He wants to represent his country. There's a lot of migration going on around the world as we know it. And so there are people who are living in Europe who may need some assistance, but they may not get it the same way as the local people within their countries get it. You know, Shannon's family are from Eritrea. By virtue of that, he's Eritrean, and we also have dual citizenship. So I think that makes a very important point for the IOC to be able to help us with more funding.
The IOC has said it will re-examine its qualification rules and quotas ahead of the Milan Cortina Winter Olympics in 2026, an effort African athletes hope will create more space for their inclusion. In the meantime, Shannon Abeda has learned that an Eritrean cross-country skier living in Germany has been so inspired by Abeda's trailblazing achievements, he is now aiming to qualify to represent their East African country in 2026. And Abeda says he hopes to inspire more athletes across Africa to do the same. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the February 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.